Are you scared that you'll get lymphedema? Has anyone actually told you what it is? Do you wonder if there's anything you can do to stop you getting it? I was worried about this when I was diagnosed, and you've sent me so many questions. Today, I'm going to put your mind at ease and tell you everything you need to know with this week's guest, Dr. Melanie Thomas. She's the National Clinical Lead for Lymph Wales, and she's my go-to woman whenever I've got a question about lymphedema. This is So Now I've Got Breast Cancer, the podcast for anyone who's just been diagnosed. I'm Dr. Liz O'Riordan, the breast surgeon with breast cancer, and I found out the hard way just how little I knew when I suddenly found myself in the chemo chair. It's why I wrote my book, The Complete Guide to Breast Cancer. There's a lot of bad information out there, and I want to guide you down the right path. So if you've got a question, this show will answer it for you. I think one of the biggest fears that women have after breast cancer surgery is whether they will get lymphedema afterwards. And I know I was definitely scared when I needed an axillary node clearance. And I realised how little I knew as a breast surgeon about lymphedema, what causes it and how to treat it. And the resources are there, but they're really scarce. And that explains why I've had so many questions from the listeners about it. I'm thrilled to have Dr. Melanie Thomas join me this week to help me answer them for you. She's a proud physiotherapist, lymphomaniac, and the National Clinical Lead for Lymphedema in Wales. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Liz, for asking me. And it's so true what you're saying. You know, lymphedema, it's the second feared thing apart from a breast recurrence. Everybody's scared of lymphedema. And if there's one thing I can try and get over today is, let's stop that fear factor. Let's give you the facts. Let's try and help all those lovely ladies and some men about what you can do. And let's do that.
I can't wait to start. But before we dive into the questions, can you tell me what led you to become an expert in lymphedema?
Oh, gosh. How long have you got? So I obviously am a physiotherapist by background, and I had no intention of going into lymphedema. When I was about 3-4 years of age, I used to go and watch the rugby with my dad and my grandfather, and I'd be, who's that man running on the pitch? That's what I'm going to be. So I was going to be the first Welsh women's rugby physio. And then when I was about, 1995, I think it was, I'd been qualified about a year, and there was a possibility of an upgrade to work in the local hospice. So I'd been brought up in business, so I was always a little bit money orientated, thinking, oh, a bit of extra. So off I went to the hospice, and I suddenly met all these people who had these massive limbs, and everyone said to me, oh, there's nothing you can do. And that, it was like a red rag to a bull. Suddenly I was in Germany, I was in France, you know, it set me off on a path I had no intention of going on. But here I am, still a lymphomaniac, still trying to improve the world, you know, of lymphedema patients.
Yeah, we need more people like you. I guess the first question to ask is, what actually is lymphedema?
Okay, so lymphedema is basically a swelling. It is a swelling that happens when your lymphatic system is damaged. Now, that damage can be because the breast cancer has invaded it. It could be that you've had surgery and it's taken away some of those lymph nodes. It may also be that you've never had a full-time lymphatic system in the first place. You know, some people are born with lymphedema. So it can be numerous things. But ultimately, lymphedema is swelling that does not go away after 3 months. Now, I'm not saying that we can't do anything if you've got lymphedema today and you've got to wait 3 months. I'm not saying that. But that's when they tend to say, oh, the lymphedema's not going away. It's not transient. It doesn't come and go. It's with you. Okay, this must be lymphedema. But it's swelling. That's all it is.
Thank you. Now, we had a voice note from Asma who wanted to ask you this.
Hi, my question is, if you have all of your lymph nodes removed because I've got cancer in one of them, how will it affect me in the longer term, please? Because that's probably what I'm looking at having done. Thank you.
Okay, so the evidence tells us if you have more lymph nodes removed, i.e. if you have an axillary lymph node clearance, your risk of lymphedema is much higher than if you were to have a sentinel lymph node biopsy. Saying that, some people who have a sentinel lymph node biopsy end up with lymphedema. But when we talk about risk, it's got to be relative risk. The risk is higher if you've had an axillary lymph node clearance. But there are other things that increase your risk. And I know we'll talk about this, but for that lady, you know, if she's having a clearance, yes, her risk is higher. But also her risk would be higher if her BMI is over 25. So your body mass index, BMI 25, that's the number they look at, your risk increases. And the other thing that they look at as well is if you have infections. So cellulitis is a skin infection, a wound infection, that seems to increase your risk as well. So other things, radiotherapy, chemotherapy, taxane, that tends to look at it. There is some evidence that says if it's on your dominant side, but these are all new things that are coming out. And if I'm being honest, the number one factor for me is the more lymph nodes, so your clearance, that is your risk, and it's body mass. Those are the two real big ones that keeps coming out in the research.
Brilliant. Thank you, Melanie. And I think going back to my days as a surgeon, we used to tell people, if you're having just a sentinel node removed, the risk was about 5%. If you're having a clearance, the risk was about 1 in 3. Yeah. But there's no way of predicting who's going to get it. We just don't have that information.
We don't. And there's one reason for that. And I think it's really important that people understand this. There is no universal definition of lymphedema. There is no universal definition of how you measure for lymphedema. So in research studies, if somebody is looking for lymphedema, they will find it, even if you don't have it. And what I mean by that is, in some studies, it is a 1 centimetre difference between your affected side and your unaffected side. In other studies, it may be 2 centimetres. It may be 5 centimetres. Some studies look at 5 points. Some studies look at 10 points. And some don't take your dominant side into consideration. Now, naturally, I'm right-handed. I'm very right-handed. My right arm is going to be bigger. So if you were to measure my arms, my arm is 6% bigger, naturally. That's something that we don't do. So realistically, what I think people should understand is, if they're trying to find it, they will find it. But that doesn't necessarily mean you've got it.
That's fascinating. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. There are lots of myths about things that can cause it. And we had this voice note from Key. He wanted to ask you this.
Can we have the facts straight about what can actually increase the chances of developing one? I'm thinking all of the things which we are told not to do or not to allow to happen, like vaccinations, tattoos, saunas, insect bites and things like that, which I know it's not necessarily true that they can increase the risk of developing lymphedema. Thank you.
Ooh, so this was my PhD topic.
Oh, wow.
It was all about debunking the myths surrounding reducing the risk of lymphedema for breast cancer patients. And it was fascinating. You know, so many women changed and altered their lives because of what they were told or what they read. None of it is evidence-based. And that's the important thing. So let's go through a few things. Saunas, one paper, and it was actually a questionnaire that found out this. I would say this is a myth. Don't take it on board that you can't go in a sauna, but be realistic. You're not going to go in a sauna and spend 20 minutes in there. Mind you, not everybody can, it's too hot. You go in, you have a couple of minutes, you see how you feel, you go out, you have your cold shower, do it. You are in charge. Lymphedema and the risk of lymphedema is not in charge. You are in charge. Health spas, you know, like having a massage.
Yeah.
No evidence for that. You know, how can a massage suddenly increase your risk of developing lymphedema? You know, obviously, if it was a very deep massage, it's going to hurt and you're going to bruise. But, you know, a gentle massage, no evidence. Going in a spa, you know, your health spa, if it's your own and you know it's clean, then again, no risk. If it's going in a communal one and you've got no cuts, you haven't recently shaved your armpits or shaved your legs because that might cause a nick, and if there was bacteria, then you could catch it then, you know, maybe your risk is slightly higher. But it's all pragmatic. Go in, enjoy, come out, see how you feel. But don't do things in, you know, mass. Just do little bits and often. So what other myths is there? What did that lady say?
Reminds vaccinations. Can I have my flu jab in my breast cancer arm?
Okay, so let's tip it the other way first. Let's do blood draws.
What we know
is common sense. I would always go for the opposite side if I could. But if I've got bilateral, I would go for the arm that's least problematic or that you've only had a sentinel lymph node biopsy in. And there's limited evidence for blood draws, because when you go back to the 1950s, and that's where it started, surgery was very different then. So was actually, you know, exactly what they took away. Everything was axillary node clearance. So there's not a lot of evidence for it. But from a pragmatic point of view, I would always go the opposite side. That's taken away, okay? And it's got to be aseptic technique. So it's obviously got to be a clean technique.
And just to add to that, I'd say, if you're having blood taken in a phlebotomy department where these people do it day in, day out, it's one puncture, you're done. It doesn't matter which arm. If it's a junior doctor on a ward in the middle of the night who looks terrified and it's going to take them six goes, you don't want that on your breast cancer arm.
Exactly.
But if someone who knows what they're doing and does it day in, day out, I don't think it actually matters.
I agree. I totally agree. And this is what all the evidence is coming out now. Now, COVID injections and immunizations, that's different. And the reason why it's different is we haven't got any evidence on this yet. What we have got is some people are saying that they develop lymphedema after having a COVID injection. But it goes back to how many people didn't develop lymphedema after having a COVID injection. It's that probability of risk. But what I would say is, in all honesty, if you can have it in the opposite side, have it in the opposite side, or you can have it in the leg. That's what I would recommend. And that's what they're suggesting now with the British Lymphology Society, the BLS. So do it in the opposite side. Blood pressure, no evidence. Again, you'll always have that person who says, ah, I developed lymphedema after my blood pressure testing, but thousands of other people didn't get it. So it's working out that risk and what it is.
Now, I wanted to ask about, Shannon asked about radiotherapy. We know that some people are now being offered radiotherapy instead of an axillary node clearance to treat their armpit. Does that increase the risk, and is it the same as surgery?
No, it seems to be lower. The risk after radiotherapy is lower than, you know, if you've got a choice. However, it's new research that keeps coming out. So I would say watch this space at the moment. But if you're offered that chance, then I would ask what the research is saying, because there's new papers coming out daily. And then I would say, you know, look at what that is. But so far, it seems that the risk is lower.
Yeah. And Kirsty wanted to ask, is the risk of getting lymphedema lifelong? If you've had surgery, do you have the risk for life, or does it get smaller the longer you live?
Do you know what? It is lifelong. This was something I found with my research, that many patients didn't know that. They just thought it was just while you had surgery or just while you had treatment, that's when your risk was there. But it is lifelong. I have met ladies 30 years post breast cancer surgery who have a cellulitis, and suddenly they get lymphedema. So it is lifelong.
Thank you, Melanie. So let's go to, how do you know if you've actually got lymphedema? Maria asked us this, and Karen wants to know, what does it feel like?
Okay, so how do you know? How does it start? Well, the first things you would start noticing is maybe your rings feel slightly tighter. Now, that's not to say don't panic, because, you know, hot weather, if we haven't drunk enough water, all our rings suddenly feel tighter. But if it's consecutively feeling tighter day by day, you know, going on for weeks, yeah, maybe that could be the start. It hasn't got to be in your hand. It could start in your wrist, and your wrist, your watch is leaving a mark, or some of your sleeves are leaving a mark. Sometimes your limb feels a little bit heavy. It could be a little bit of increased pain or discomfort in it. Years ago, they used to say, ah, it's not lymphedema if you've got pain. That's a load of codswallop, really.
Right.
You can get pain through lymphedema. It's a heaviness, it's a discomfort. It just doesn't feel right, and that not feeling right goes on day by day. Or it may go, and then suddenly it's back again. So those are the type of things, really. So things feeling tight. When you press, and so if you press on your hand or if you press on your arm, suddenly it starts leaving a dip. And we call this a pit-in test, i.e. you press and it leaves a mark. That definitely shows that you've got some edema going on in your limb. When edema sort of gets longer that you've had it, the opposite happens and it becomes quite hard. So it becomes fibrosed. And that's another thing then that we say, well, you know, around my elbow, it feels really hard. It doesn't feel like my arm anymore. So those are sort of telltale signs and symptoms. But the earlier we see it, the better.
So Heather wanted to ask, how early can it start? Can you get the signs within a couple of weeks after surgery, or does it generally take years to develop?
No, you can wake up post-op and your arm can start swelling. And again, we've seen that.
Wow.
So what we do know is it's about 89% of people will develop lymphedema within 3 years. So if you haven't had it within 3 years, the risk does diminish. But that's what, you know, the evidence is saying.
Brilliant. And Maria asked, again, just to go over this, is it a progressive condition or can it get better or go away?
It gets worse. So sadly, we can keep it at bay.
And yeah.
The reason of keeping it at bay is keeping your body mass healthy. So moving your body any which way you can, move your body to get your weight as a good, you know, as close as you can to that BMI of 25. And that's for all health benefits. The other thing is moisturising your skin. So, you know, people again say, what moisturiser should I use, Mel? Should it be medicated? No, use whatever you like. You know, treat yourself. If you really want to have something really nice, you buy it. If you want coconut butter, coconut, if you like the smell, you're more likely to use it. You know, we all put our face cream on. You know, this morning I put my Trini on. I'm into Trini at the moment. You know, Trini goes on, yeah. I rub it on my hands and then I think, oh, my arms. Then I do a little bit on all my legs. We should do that because it's a good thing to do to protect our skin. The skin is our biggest organ, but we tend not to. So what I would say is moisturise as much as you can. Move your body as much as you can and try and get that weight as close to 25 as you can.
Brilliant, thank you. Let's move on to how it's treated. So Lise asked us, do compression machines work and should she buy one?
Okay, so the number one thing is compression garments. They're not great. They're not cosmetically appealing. You don't feel particularly great when you're wearing them. Although I've got my socks on today. I wear below knee socks because I sit a lot and it does help take away some of that edema in your legs. So they do the job. They do work. And one thing I'd like to say is there are hundreds of thousands of varieties. So if you're given one and it doesn't work for you, that doesn't mean compression doesn't work. It just means that particular one isn't suited to you and we need to find a different one. Never take from your lymphedema professional or your GP, oh, this is the only one. No, it's not. There are hundreds of thousands of varieties, okay?
And there are now ones that are patterned, aren't there? You can get some really cool tattoo sleeves and flower sleeves. They do cost a bit more, but rather than that ugly beige glove or sleeve that you have to wear.
Yeah, definitely. Black ones, shocking pink ones, any colours. There's certain products, you know, they've got all writing on them as well. So black ones, I think if you wear a lot of black, a black sleeve on, nobody really notices. Unless it's summer, of course. So compression is the number one. Exercise, move your body is number two. And it has to be. And, you know, I keep saying, what exercise should I do? Anything that you like doing, just keep it up. And keep it mixing it up. You know, if you like shopping, okay, you're going to walk extra shopping. You're going to walk more. If you like dancing, put the music on and dance and fling your arms up in the air. Just move your body. Acroaerobic, swimming, horse riding. Anything goes. Never let anybody tell you just because you've had breast cancer you've got to stop doing what you've always done. You know, whether that's rock climbing, anything, we will work with you on that, and that's really important.
We're saying it's safe to use the arm. We should be exercising the arm to prevent lymphedema and to help the pain if you have it.
100%.
Because so many women 100%. Have said, I've been told not to exercise, not to lift anything heavy, don't use the arm because it'll cause lymphedema. It's BS, isn't it?
It's absolute BS. Years and years and years ago, they used to say, oh, protect it. You know, treat it like the baby, protect it. No, that's the worst thing. And evidence is showing those that don't move are at a higher risk of developing lymphedema. So move your bodies.
Brilliant, thank you. Now, I know there's been some new surgical technologies in the last couple of years, such as lymph node transfer, which are offered at a very small number of hospitals in the UK. Can you tell us a bit more about them? And I've had a lot of people saying, where can I get one? Why isn't everybody offered it?
Okay, so I can tell you what we do in Wales, and we are very unique. I fought back in 2015, lymphatic venous anastomosis, or LVA, came out. Our surgeon, our plastic surgeon, could do it. He'd been out to numerous places. He was trained, but we didn't have the funding. So we managed to get a grant in from Welsh Government to offer 42 people per year the opportunity of having LVA. And how LVA works is the defunct lymphatics are connected to a functioning vein, and that seems to work. Now, we've actually done 150 cases and we followed them up for 3 years. We had a paper published at the beginning of this year. What I can tell you is the risk of cellulitis diminishes. That's the important point. The second thing is you feel much better. Your heaviness, the pain, your patient-reported outcome measures are much more improved. But the actual volume doesn't really change that much. However, you haven't got to wear a garment. And for lots of women and men, it was that, I don't have to wear a garment anymore. It's like somebody's put the brakes on my lymphedema from getting worse. And that's important. So that's LVA, okay? It is available in England, Scotland, Ireland, but it's only on a private option. There are some places who are doing a trial. I believe the Royal Marsden was doing one. But as I said, Google it, search it, and see what you can find out. But if you live in Wales, then you can have it free of charge. Now then, lymph node transfers, they sometimes do that if you're having a breast reconstruction. One of our surgeons does that here. And the results are looking pretty good. You know, it's quite exciting, this technology that they're doing. So they may remove some lymph nodes from your groin or from your other side and place them in when you're having a reconstruction. So that's lymph node transfer. And then the other things that they're looking at is liposuction. So if you do have lymphedema, then they can actually suck all of the fat, because eventually this lymphedema will turn very fatty. They will suck all of that out. However, the big thing with liposuction is you've got to wear compression afterwards.
Yeah.
With lymph node transfer with LVA, there is that option that we might get you out of garments. And that's the appealing thing for the majority of patients with lymphedema, getting out of garments.
So it's great to know there is hope in the future. Leah and Janine wanted to know, how can we get access to this and why isn't everybody getting it?
I know, it's hard.
It is.
I fought really hard to get this LVA service in Wales, and we were just one of the lucky ones. Our health minister was a health economist, and he got it. He got it because I was able to say, spend to save. Wales, you know, it's the size of one of the PCTs or CCGs in England. You know, we're quite small, and we can access and we can evoke change. I agree with you. Something's got to change.
And I think for people listening, to do this surgery, you need a microvascular surgeon. You need a plastic surgeon with an operating microscope who can do this. So often that's just really big hospitals, and it adds time to the operation.
It does.
So instead of being able to do 5 mastectomies a day, they may only be able to do 2 or 3. So that increases the waiting list the more you do. So at the moment, it is only in the really big centres. But if you are interested, you can do your own research and have a look.
Definitely. And if you live in Wales, contact me.
Moved to I miss Cardiff. I was there for 14 years. It's a fabulous place. And that's the end of my accent.
I'm Vic Hope, and I'm the host of Bookshelfie, the podcast that asks women with lives as inspiring as any fiction to share the 5 books by women that have shaped them. From actors to politicians, writers, artists, fashion and interior designers, chefs, singers, and even a former Spice Girl, we have some incredible guests you do not want to miss. Join me on Thursdays for reading recommendations, intimate conversations, and a whole lot more. Listen and subscribe to Bookshelfie by the Women's Prize in partnership with Bailey's, wherever you get your podcasts.
I've had a couple of questions, one from Willow Bow on Instagram and one from Rebecca, and they both think they have lymphedema. Willow Bow is waiting to be referred, which we know can take a while, and she's wondering what can she do in the short term to prevent it getting worse while she's waiting to be seen. And then Rebecca, who's waiting for her gloves to arrive, sent me this. And she said, my hand has swollen up so much and it's really painful. Is there anything I can do to stop the pain in my hand and regain some strength? I can't even pick up the kettle or grip the steering wheel properly. It hurts so much. Is there anything you can say to help them?
Right, okay. So one thing, although lymphedema is painful, it's discomfort. If you think that your muscle strength is going and you're getting shooting pains or pins and needles, I would probably say that's more to do with your shoulder. Could be from the surgery where some of your nerves are aggravated. So what I would recommend for that is try and get to see a good physio, hands-on, and you need some massage and some manipulations of that shoulder. That's important. But what can you do in the meantime? Something that we've done a lot of is teaching patients how to shake their arms. So this is a little bit random, But what we know is when you actually hold your hand up and you give it a really good shake, your lymphatics suddenly come alive. And we know this because we've done lots of scans when we've put dyes in.
We're not talking about a royal wave like the Queen and the King used to do. This is hands up in the air like you just don't care. Proper disco dancing waving.
That's it. And really give it a good shake. And what I tell patients is when you go for a wee, it's the only quiet time in my house with two kids and a dog. So I go for a wee, you know, do it then. Lift your arms up. Really give it a good shake. And what you can do is do the good side as well. Give them both a good shake. That does seem to work. The more you move it, it does help. But then look, you know, complementary therapies. I'm a great advocate of heat. So wheat bags, putting creams on, moisturising, rubbing. You know, years ago when we fell, what's the first thing we did? We'd rub it. Same thing. Rub your arm. Again, exercising, if it's in the hand, open and close as much as you can. But keep it up. And, you know, if you can't find anything, there are some YouTube videos. You know, see what else is being recommended. And I'm more than happy. If anybody wants to email me, you're more than welcome. Email me.
And Melanie is just amazing at answering questions. So please feel free to get in touch. I will put the details in the show notes. But now we've got a voice note from Dee.
I have had a full mastectomy and a full axillary clearance in my armpit. I'm relatively young. I'm 33. Is there anything I can do or not do that would reduce the chances of lymphedema? And then what are the early signs of it? It is something I'm worried about developing because I don't want it to restrict my job and my life really with it. Thank you.
Oh, do you know, it's so sad. This fear has been created and we've got to really take on board lymphedema is manageable. Yes, it's shit that you get it. But you know what? We can live with lymphedema. We can control it. It's not going to control us. So the first thing is, she's 33, try and keep the weight down. Now, weight is so hard. I know I struggle with my weight. Lots of women struggle with their weight. But try and keep your weight down. That's the first thing. That's a lot of the evidence. Moisturise your arm. Move your arm. You know, if you can get into aqua aerobics, get into swimming, do good things. Go out for walks. But that's the real thing is the fear factor. It's hard. But to try and, you know, really try and get it out of your head as to lymphedema, it's manageable. I can cope with it. But as I said, move, weight, moisturise. Those are the big things.
Brilliant. Thanks, Melanie. Sandy wanted to know, does lymphatic brushing help prevent it?
Yeah. Well, again, there's so much evidence on it. But if it makes you feel good, brilliant. Do it. Lymphatics, so the brushing, skin brushing, it stimulates the initial lymphatics. The initial lymphatics are literally just underneath our skin. So anything that creates tingling with skin brushing or body brushing, the other thing which you can use is when you go in the shower, you get your shower puff and, you know, you use your shower puff. That, again, does help. The only thing I would say after moisturising and skin brushing, always do your last rub down, and that's because of your hair follicles. So if you're really hairy, then make sure that the hairs are just put to their natural way rather than pushing them all up, if that makes sense.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And Parnsy asked, and this is something I've thought about, should she wear a compression sleeve to stop her getting it?
No. No, definitely not. They've tried and they've looked at a number of studies on this and there's nothing conclusive to do. You should only wear a sleeve if you've got lymphedema.
Right.
And, you know, and it seemed like years ago they used to say, oh, I'm going on an aeroplane, I need to wear one. No, you don't.
That was my next question. Sarah and Nicola and I both asked, if you're flying long haul, should you wear a support sleeve and can you fly?
You can definitely fly. It's all about moving, not sitting. You know, sometimes you go on the plane and we don't move. That's the worst thing you need to do. I would recommend you wear flight socks because I think that's good common sense. It's something I do. But the other thing is drink plenty of water, fluid, but move. You know, back and forth.
Shake your hands in the air.
Shake your hands in the air. You know, stretching up. All different things. Get you moving. Move in those shoulders. You know, it's being stuck in the same position. That's what we don't want. And that's the same goes for long car journeys. And also if you're going on a bus trip, you know, move. Yeah,
me sat at my desk all day typing, I'm going to be shaking my hands in the air.
Yeah.
Christy's mom asked, can massage prevent it?
Nothing can prevent it. Okay. And this is something really important. We can reduce the risk of it occurring, but we cannot prevent lymphedema. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So do not beat yourself up. I meet lots of ladies who, I've done something wrong. I've got it. I've listened to you, what you've said, and I know I've got it. I've done it wrong. I haven't done it enough. No, you're just one of the unlucky ones. So that's the big thing. Nothing can prevent it, but we can reduce the risk of it. And as I said, it goes back to weight, move your body, skincare.
Now, I finally wanted to talk about breast lymphedema. Sharon, a lymphedema physiotherapist in New Zealand, wanted me to talk about lymphedema in the breast, as she said a lot of patients are getting it, especially after radiotherapy. And we had this message from Kate, who said, "My breast is huge, red and uncomfortable. I wear compression garments and do regular massage, but nothing seems to help. Lucy has it in her breast and has been told nothing can help, and she's still in pain 18 months later."
Okay, so breast edema, it is a thing. They reckon it's high in incidence as 1 in 4 will get it. Lymphedema is 1 in 5. Obviously, it tends to occur with those people who've had wide local excisions, and it can be sentinel lymph node biopsy as well as axillary node clearance. We don't really know why it happens, the same as we don't know why it happens with the arm. But again, it goes back to weight. It seems to be some link to post-op infections, potentially. There were some studies that say it could be related to, you know, some people get cording, axillary cording. That could be. So what can you do about it? So the first thing is good compression, good bras, good sports bras. Vest, compression vest that holds me all in, you know, a bit like the Spalx. They are brilliant. And ideally, wear them to bed. Not all the time, because intimacy desirability, you know, compression is a killer against intimacy desirability, let me tell you. But use your timing. You know, you might put it on afterwards. You might put it on underneath your nightie, but it does give that support. The other thing is lying on your tummy. So lie on your tummy, because it's natural compression, because, you know, your body weight is actually going then on the breasts. Same as in the day, you know, lie on your tummy in the day, if you've got time to do that. Massage is good. Now, there's certain things that you can do. It's literally holding on to the breast and coming up, coming down, going to one side, going to the other side. You might find that one of those is tighter. Do it on the good side so you know what the good side feels like. And then you might think, oh gosh, that's really tight. And then you work at it, back and forth, back and forth, and it will loosen it. There is one thing that we recommend. This is going to be interesting to do live, and it's called the shimmy, okay?
Uh-huh.
So we lean everything forward and we shake them. So if you imagine you've got breast edema and you really shake, so it's the same as doing it your arm, but we do it on the forward. So it's a real shimmy. And you'll think, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Take the bra off and really let it go. That does seem to help, and it's suddenly the lymphatics start to work. But a really good supportive bra, vests, and have a look. You know, there are certain places now, your Primax, your Next, your TK Maxx, they will have supportive underwear, like the Spalx, that hold everything in. Those are the ones that really, you know, will keep everything in place.
That's so helpful. So we're telling women to release their inner Strictly dancer and go and shimmy as if they're on a dance floor. I love
this.
Shake
it all. Shake it off.
I love this.
But it's practical advice. And
yeah,
these are things that you won't get from surgeons, Liz. You know, they won't get from breast
nurses. I had no training. I would see it and I'd pass my patients on to the breast care nurses, hoping they knew what to do. And it was a bit of a massage. So it's great to know there are things that we can tell our patients to help.
Yeah.
But I wanted to come back to that. Nicola asked, why is post-operative lymphedema advice so poor? And why is most treatment so antiquated? Why does it take so long to get it? Is there anything we as listeners can do to maybe drive a change or demand more treatment?
Okay. So realistically, everybody should receive information before they have surgery. And lymphedema should be one of those things that's discussed openly, but not in a fearful way. Again, lots of patients say, oh, it was whispered to me, and don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. And it was, I've got to live my life. How can I not do all these things? So information is pertinent, but it's got to be evidence-based information. It can't be all these myths of maybe this, maybe that. That's no good. Go on our website. There are lymphedema documents on there for breast cancer patients. They're evidence-based. Please use them, you know, print them out. That will help. So that's the first thing. Don't accept that your professionals don't know it all, because some won't know it all. But you need to ask them and to say, look, what is your knowledge of this? Is there anybody that you can recommend me to that may have more information that I really need? So those would be the two things. Yes, you can lobby, but do you know what? Where we're at with the NHS at the moment, it's really hard. But
it is, isn't it?
Not saying that you can't do it. You know, we got lymphedema services in Wales because of patient power. You know, when I came into post in 2001, there was a couple of us in lymphedema. There's now 130 of us in lymphedema.
Wow.
You know, we've got a national team where I've got two psychologists. You know, we're going out for a dietitian. You know, we've got a massive programme. So it can be done. But you just need somebody constantly fighting, really, and pushing it forward.
And can you tell us what the name of your website is, Melanie? We'll put it in the show notes.
So if you're looking at Lymphedema Wales Clinical Network, and then it will come up.
Brilliant.
I'm on Twitter. I'm Lymph Wales. Again, you know, sometimes I put things on and there's, you know, anything, just message me and I will try and my best to help.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Now, if you could leave our listeners with lymphedema a couple of tips to help them cope, what would you say?
So don't let lymphedema rule you. You will rule it. That's the number one thing. Lymphedema will not kill you, all right? Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's a pain in the backside. But you know what? It will not defeat you. So that's really important. And you need to get over that. Don't be fearful of it. There are many other things going on in this world that we need to be fearful of. Lymphedema is not it. The second thing is try and get a handle of your weight. That's the biggest evidence. And how you do it, speak to your GPs. You know, there are lots of medication that are coming forward now. If you're thinking about the GLP agonists, you know, for the diabetic drugs, if you're really struggling with your weight, maybe that is an option for you. But you need to be open and front and discuss with your GP, because it does work for some people with lymphedema, and we're seeing that. And then the third thing is really just move your body. It's so good for your endorphins. Just going for a walk, you know, just going for a run if you can run, just dancing, doing something, you will feel better. And of course, moisturising with any expensive cream that you've got, or non-expensive cream, just treat yourself. Moisturise your body.
I love that. Thank you so much, Melanie. You've been brilliant.
Oh, no problem at all.
I need to thank Dr. Melanie Thomas for being so patient with me as I went through all those questions. I think my takeaway for this week is that we don't need to be scared of lymphedema, and there's actually very little you can't do after breast cancer surgery. It comes down to the simple things like trying to keep our weight down, and I know it can be hard, but also keeping active. And I want to see you all shaking your hands in the air like you just don't care. Remember to tag me in your videos. But now it's time for our lovely podcast poet, Donna Ashworth, to read us this week's poem. Her new book, Wild Hope, is a thing of joy you can just dip into. And she always has the words I need to keep me going. Over to Donna.
To the wind. Count the days spent living. Put them in a pile. Add the loving moments where you lingered for a while. Count the sun-drenched beaches, the waves that cleansed your heart, coupled with the risks you took that beckoned life to start. Take the joyful memories, the ones that grew your soul, the music that entranced your mind, the words that made you whole. The taste of salty kisses, wiping tears and fears away, the warmth of little bodies before they flew away. Picture all the faces you loved throughout the years. Take a mental screenshot, they are yours to carry near. Put all these things together in a file marked What I Know. Take all the other memories to the wind and let them go.
If there's one thing that cancer has taught me, is that life is all about the memories we make. And that was Donna Ashworth reading her poem To the Wind from her new book Wild Hope. Now, if you want to read more of Donna's poems, or find out more about today's guest, Dr. Melanie Thomas, her website, email address, or any of the other issues she raised, or you've got a question you want me to answer on next week's show, you'll find all the details in the show notes. And Melanie is very happy to take your emails, so do contact her if you've got further questions. Our next episode is actually the last in the series. It's gone so quickly. And we're ending it with an interview with the incredible Chris Halenga, the founder of Copperfeel, who's been living with stage 4 cancer for over 10 years, and it's going to be a really special one. For our listeners who don't know what a turd is, we might need to explain it.
Oh, it's a steaming poo. A poo of a situation that you can accept, you can't do anything about, but you can accept, and then turn it into something brilliant, potentially, which I believe I did with my cancer.
I'm Dr. Lisa Reardon. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. So Now I've Got Breast Cancer is produced by Birdline Media.